السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to our visit with the Quran and our journey with the Quran. And today, inshallah, we are going to talk about some of the ayat from the juz number 24. So we're going to start, inshallah, with Surah Ghafir, and then Surah Fussilat, and then Surah Ash-Shura, inshallah. Surah Ghafir is a Surah Makkiyah, very beautiful Surah, and its name is one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself, غافر الذنب, the one who forgives the sin, وقابل التوب, the one who accepts repentance, and on the other hand, شديد العقاب ذي الطول. So He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one with the severe punishment, and He's the one with the far reach. He subhanahu wa ta'ala with the absolute power, He can reach whomever He subhanahu wa ta'ala wills at any time. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us some very tender and beautiful ayat. Among them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is declaring that those who associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are causing injustice first and foremost to their own selves. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنَادَوْنَ لَمَقْتُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ مَقْتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ إِذْ تُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ فَتَكْفُرُونَ. Those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are going to be called that the hate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for you is greater than the hate that you have for your own selves when you are invited to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you turn your backs and you do not accept this invitation and this call. And when these non-believers come on the Day of Judgment, they would say, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ فَاعْتَرَفْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا فَهَلْ إِلَى خُرُوجٍ مِّن سَبِيلٍ. Oh Allah, You caused us to die twice and You revived us twice. And now we acknowledge our sins. Is there any way out of that hellfire? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to them that there's no exit out of this hellfire. You brought it upon yourselves, so you stay there and you taste the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have a beautiful chapter also from the story of Sayyidina Musa ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. And Surah Ghafir also has another name, which is Surah Al-Mu'min. Al-Mu'min, the believer. Which believer? The believer from Ali Fir'aun, the one described in the Surah. وقال رجل مؤمن من آل فرعون أتقتلون رجلا أن يقول ربي الله وقد جاءكم بالبينات من ربكم. When Sayyidina Musa على نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام came with the truth to Fir'aun and his nation and his people, and Fir'aun did not accept what Sayyidina Musa came with, and he plotted with his entourage to kill Sayyidina Musa على نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام. And that man from the family of Fir'aun, from within the palace, he asked the question, why? Why are you doing that? Why are you planning to kill someone just for saying that my Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now these same words, by the way, before being revealed in the Quran as being said by this believer from the family of Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this believer as وَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَكْتُمُ إِيمَانَ. So this believer was hiding his faith. He did not declare that faith. During the early days of Mecca, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was inviting Quraysh to Islam, they congregated around him sallallahu alayhi wasallam and wanted to harass him and wanted to punish him and wanted even to kill him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood fast in his defense. And he declared to Quraysh, why are you doing that to this man? أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهُ وَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Which are exactly the same words of that believer from Ali Fir'aun. However, as the scholars of tafsir say, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was better than that believer, because that believer, although he was hiding his faith, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not hide his faith. He declared his faith, and he radiallahu anhu was beaten once to the extent that Quraysh left him for dead, and he was carried to his home, and people who looked at his face said, we would not recognize his face from the back of his head, from the amount of blood that was covering his face and how disfigured he was after that beating. And the first thing that he asked about when he came back to consciousness, he asked, how is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is he okay? That was the first thing that came to his mind, and that was the most, the thing of the greatest concern to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Again, in the story of this believer from the family of Fir'aun, he tried to use any kind of logic and mild manners with Fir'aun. And he used to address them as any prophet and messenger addressed his own people, Ya Qawm, O my people, which means that I am one of you. I share the same heritage with you. We have common ground, we have common interests, and I care for you, I want the best for you. وَيَا قَوْمِ And so he kept advising them until the end, when he got sort of disappointed with them. He wondered, وَيَا قَوْمِ مَا لِي أَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى النَّجَاةِ وَتَدْعُونَنِي إِلَى النَّارِ تَدْعُونَنِي لِأَكْفُرَ بِاللَّهِ وَأُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ عِلْمٍ وَأَنَا أَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى الْعَزِيزِ الْغَفَّارِ لا جرم أن ما تدعونني إليه ليس له دعوة في الدنيا ولا في الآخرة وأن مردنا إلى الله وأن المسرفين هم أصحاب النار فستذكرون ما أقول لكم وأفوض أمري إلى الله إن الله بصير بالعباد فوقاه الله سيئات ما مكروا وحاق بآل فرعون سوء العذاب. The mere translation of this very beautiful passage is that this man is pleading with his people, oh my people, why I keep inviting you to being saved and you keep responding by inviting me to be destroyed, to the hellfire. I invite you, you invite me to associate with my Lord, to disbelieve in my Lord, while I am inviting you to the mighty, the most forgiving, subhanahu wa ta'ala. No wonder that what you're inviting me to does not have any power, does not have any control, especially on the Day of Judgment. لا جرم أن ما تدعونني إليه ليس له دعوة في الدنيا ولا في الآخرة. And that we are returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will hold us accountable for what we said and what we did. وأن المسرفين هم أصحاب النار. And that those extravagant people, those who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are going to be the dwellers of the hellfire. You are going to remember what I told you. Someday, when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will remember what I told you. فَسَتَذْكُرُونَ مَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ And I submit my affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all of his servants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to his sincere call to faith. فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from the worst of their plotting. وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ And the family of Fir'aun, the people of Fir'aun who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will suffer the worst of the punishment, the hellfire. النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا That hellfire, that they're going to be exposed to it in their graves, day and night. They're going to see it twice in their graves while they are buried. And then, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ And when they are resurrected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ Take the people of Fir'aun, his family, and those who followed him, and make them taste the worst of the punishment. And then when these people go to the hellfire, there are the followers and there are the leaders. Is one of them better than the other or one of them worse than the other? They are gathered together in the same abode in the hellfire. So now the blaming and the finger pointing starts taking place. وَإِذْ يَتَحَاجُّونَ فِي النَّارِ And this scene is repeated many times in the Quran about that confrontation between the leaders and the followers. The followers claim, what can we do? We're just following orders. That is not an excuse, because you could have objected to the oppression and you could have stood up for the truth. So when they argue together in the hellfire, the weak ones or the followers look at the leaders and say, we were your followers. Are you going to take our share of the punishment? And the leaders would say, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us here together. Inna Allah qad hakama bayna al-ibad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already ruled. None of us is going to be able to take the share of anyone else. Everyone is going to take his own share. And then by the end of that passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a general statement, إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ الظَّالِمِينَ مَعْذِرَتُهُمْ وَلَهُمُ اللَّعْنَةُ وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises and pledges, we are going to give victory. إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا to our prophets and messengers and to their followers, the believers. That victory is not only going to be delayed for the Day of Judgment, but it's also going to be in this life. فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. And on that day, the excuses or the apologies of the oppressors are not going to do them any good, and they're going to be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're going to be thrown in the hellfire. So these are some of the beautiful ayat that come in Surah Ghafir. And again, the main story in that surah is that of the believer from the family of Fir'aun. Surah Fussilat, again, is another very beautiful surah that was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca al-Mukarrama. And one day, some of the leaders of Quraysh decided among themselves, can we send anyone to go and talk to Muhammad and talk some sense into Muhammad? Maybe he can listen to someone. So Utba ibn Rabi'ah, one of the leaders of Quraysh, one of the respected leaders of Bani Umayyah, he stood up and said, let me go and talk some sense to him. Let me go and talk to him and maybe we can reach a compromise. Remember that Utba ibn Rabi'ah and his brother Shayb ibn Rabi'ah were the owners of that garden to which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seeking refuge after the people of At-Ta'if of Taqif hurt him sallallahu alaihi wasallam and threw stones at his feet. And even these two leaders of Quraysh, leaders of tyranny, their hearts moved when they saw the miserable condition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we mentioned that they sent their servant Addas to give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a plate of grapes. These two leaders also, again, their hearts moved temporarily, but that did not change their disbelief. So they were two of the first three who were killed on the day of the Battle of Badr. Utba ibn Rabi'ah and his brother Shayb ibn Rabi'ah and the son of Utba, Al-Walid ibn Utba. So Utba ibn Rabi'ah decided to go and talk to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he started talking to him. Ya Muhammad, if you want wealth, we're going to collect money for you. You're going to be the wealthiest one of us. If you want leadership and reign, we're going to crown you as our king. If you want this, if you want that, if you want marriage, we're going to give you the best of our daughters to marry. And he kept sort of trying to bribe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is looking at him very attentively, listening very politely and calmly until the man was done. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to make sure that he was done, he asked him, أَفَرَغْتَ يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدِ, are you done, Abu al-Walid? And he's calling him by his best name, Abu al-Walid. And the man said, yes, I'm done. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, then listen to me. It's my turn now to speak. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started reciting from the beginning of Surah Fussilat. حَامِيم تَنْزِيلٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ كتاب فصلت آياته قرآنا عربيا لقوم يعلمون بشيرا ونذيرا فأعرض أكثرهم فهم لا يسمعون. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept going with the ayat until he reached a warning. فإن أعرضوا فقل أنذرتكم صاعقة مثل صاعقة عاد وثمود. If they keep rejecting and if they turn their backs to you, then tell them I'm warning you about a storm that can destroy you, similar to that storm of Ad and Thamud. Now, we mentioned before that in the classic Arabic literature, there's a group of Arabic tribe or Arab tribes that are called Al-Arab Al-Ba'ida, which are ancient Arab tribes that perished without leaving any continuation after them, without leaving any children to continue that civilization. Among these were Ad and Thamud, these two famous tribes that used to live in the northern part of Arabia. And all the Arabs knew about them and knew about the destruction that happened to them with Ad when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the storm for 7 consecutive days and nights. to until they it didn't leave anything. So 7 nights and 8 days, it didn't leave anyone alive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes their dead bodies كَأَعْجَازِ نَخْلٍ خَوِيَ, like the trunks or the stumps of palm trees that are hollow from the inside. That's the severity of the punishment. And with Thamud also, their Prophet Sayyidina Salih ala Nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam warned them and gave them a waiting period of 3 days to repent, and they rejected. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a sayha, which is a very loud noise, and they were also destroyed, the whole civilization of Thamud. They left traces behind them, but none of them lived except for the believers who were saved with their Prophet. So the Arabs of Quraysh knew about Aad and Thamud, and here's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam threatening a similar fate to that of Aad and Thamud. So when Utbah ibn Rabi'ah heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that, he truly knew that he was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never doubted the sincerity and the authenticity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he put his hand in the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Stop, please stop. Nashadtuka ar-rahima an takuf. I'm pleading with you by everything that you hold dear and the ties of kinship and the relationship that we have, please stop, don't go any further." Because again, the Arabs, those who defied and denied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had no doubt that he was telling the truth sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us very beautiful ayat about those who declare the truth and stay the course. They do not waver, they do not change. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه هو السميع العليم. Very beautiful passage of ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising those who declare the truth. And there's no better truth than La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. And then they are firm in their belief. Nothing makes them change that belief or go in a different path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that they are going to be supported by the angels who are going to be descending on them, especially at the time of their death, when they come to take their souls and restore it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're going to tell them at that moment of hardship, لَا تَخَافُوا لَا تَحْزَنُوا, don't be afraid, don't have any sadness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared the best for you. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ, and here are the good news about the paradise that you have been promised. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending these angels with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His angels are the allies of these people in this life and in the hereafter. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. And in the paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for you, you're going to find everything that you had any wish for, and you're going to find everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. And this is a hosting or hospitality from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Ghafurur Rahim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of these people. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Who can say better than those who invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with their speech and with their actions. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and they do good deeds. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I am in full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that this paradise is not gonna be obtained except by those who have endured patience and those who have been favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds those people who are gonna be striving to live a life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from time to time, Shaitan is gonna try to deceive you. Shaitan is gonna try to fulfill his promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of bringing as many of you with him, so don't listen to him. And even when you are touched by the shaitan or by the evil of the shaitan, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ, when you are touched by that evil or plotting of the shaitan, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, or أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself in this ayah, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمِ. These are some of the beautiful ayat from Surah Fussilat. But at the beginning of the surah of Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives us the details of the creation of the heavens and the earth, those 6 days in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to create the heavens and the earth, which days were for the creation of the heavens, which days were for the creation of the earth, and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that detailed account of that order of the creation, again, that He subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to do in 6 days for a wisdom that He subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows. Again, as we mentioned before, He subhanahu wa ta'ala could have just commanded the heavens and the earth to come into form. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that patience is a great virtue, and meticulousness and the perfection of the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to do it this way, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Ash-Shura is a surah madaniyah. Shura is consultation. What is the difference between shura and democracy? Because unfortunately many people equate between the two or confuse between the two, and they are quite different. Democracy, as it's defined in particularly in the West, it is the rule of the people by the people. So basically, the majority rules. If we have 100 people, 51 of them decide on something, their opinion is to be followed for all the 100 people. That's basically what the majority rule is, and that's what they call democracy. Unfortunately, in many cases, that opinion that's given by this majority is not an educated opinion. It might be based on popularity, it might be based on siding with a certain group based on certain interests, or not knowing exactly what we are voting for and favoring someone because they're my relative or from my clan or from my tribe or looks like me or something like that. And that's not the way to make any decisions. However, in Islam, we have something called Ashura, which is consultation. Consultation, the leader basically appoints a group of people and asks for consultation among this group of experts. And that's the key word here, experts. So for example, if we're going to decide on the economic policy of a certain country, it doesn't make sense to subject that economic policy to the vote of the people. Most of the people know nothing about economics. But if we gather the experts in the economics and we ask them about, we consult with them about what's the best path to an economic policy, in this case, these are Ahlul Dhikr, the people of the knowledge in that domain, so their advice is gonna make sense. In this case, if the majority agrees on something, it makes sense because that's the majority of experts. If we're talking about education, if we're talking about healthcare, if we're talking about any other public policy, the people of the experience and the expertise are the ones to be consulted, and not the general public, because again, the general public may decide on something that is not good. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to take shura among his companions. We see, for example, in the Battle of Badr, when he sallallahu alayhi wasallam selected the camp for the believers at a certain place, and then he asked the companions, or actually without even asking the companions, one of the companions stepped forward, Sayyidina al-Hubab ibn Mundir radiallahu anhu, and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has this place been indicated to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we're going to say sami'na wa ata'na and we're going to accept it, or is it your own opinion based on military strategy and so on? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I did not receive any revelation about that. It's based on military strategy. So the man told him, then this is not a good place. Let me tell you about a better place. He volunteered to do that. And we know again, in the Battle of Badr, mashallah, the Muslims were victorious in that great victory. In the Battle of Uhud, now, that's 1 year, almost 1 year after the Battle of Badr. And now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is seeking consultation with his companions as well. Tell me, should we stay in Medina to defend it? Or should we get out of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara and meet the enemy before they reach Medina, as we did in the Battle of Badr? Now, there were the young people who did not witness the Battle of Badr, and they know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised that great group of companions who followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this battle. They wanted to have the same level of honor and mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the young people who did not have much military experience, unfortunately. They had the zeal, they had the dedication, but they lacked the experience. Whereas the experts, the older people, basically, they said, Medina can be easily defended from the inside. We can protect all the different places where Quraysh can come, because again, in Al-Madina, Medina is surrounded by mountains, including the mountain of Uhud, and there are some narrow passages between these mountains. So if we can control these straits, Quraysh is not going to be able to force itself on us. In the back, Medina is defended by our alliance with the Jewish tribes of Bani Qurayza and so on. Remember when we talked about the Battle of Al-Ahzab, how Quraysh, knowing that Al-Madinah can be easily defended, they decided that we are going to conspire with the Jews of Bani Qurayza to betray the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and attack from the back, from the part that they had felt that it was already safe. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he took the consultation, the majority were the youth, and they kept nagging on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was on a Friday. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the Jum'ah prayer, went into his home and put on his fighting gear, his armor, and put on his fighting gear. Now the youth said, "Oh, maybe we went too far. Maybe we have forced the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to follow our opinion." Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took that consultation, and these people were the ones selected to give their opinion. The majority of them in this case were the youth who wanted to go and fight outside of Medina. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after putting his gear on, and these young people regretted that they have forced the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make that decision, they asked him, "O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do not want to force you on any decision. Please decide what you want." And he told them, "That's too late. We have already made our shura. The shura came to a conclusion. And especially when a prophet puts on his fighting gear, he cannot take it off until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separates between him and the non-believers, which means after the battle. Khalas, it's too late." So obviously some people might say, well, the defeat or the partial defeat in the Battle of Uhud was based on following the opinion of these young people who were not the experts. That is not the case. That was not the reason for the partial defeat. As we mentioned before, the main reason, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the details in Surah Ali Imran, was because some of the companions did not follow literally the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly the archers, and that was their mistake. Some people fled from the battlefield, and that was their mistake. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the events of the Battle of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again in Surah Ali Imran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fa'afu anhum, wastaghfir lahum, washawirhum fil amr. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ So Shura was not the reason for that defeat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had done. It is not your mistake, it is not anyone's mistake, but those who disobeyed the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shura tells us that this faith that he revealed to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is exactly the same faith that was revealed to the other prophets before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. شَرَعَ لَكُم مِّنَ الدِّينِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for you in your faith whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded Sayyidina Nuh, Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Musa, and Sayyidina Isa ibn Maryam ala nabiyyina wa alayhimu salatu wa salam. What is that command? أَنْ أَقِيمُ الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ Establish that faith as your way of life and do not go into different directions as how to do this or how to do that. Unite around the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given you and has shown you. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam elaborated on that, explained the Quran first and foremost, and then he has his own hadith, al-hadith al-sharif, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which by itself, by the way, also is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So al-Quran al-Kareem is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-hadith al-sharif is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are some of the main concepts of shura, particularly in surah ash-shura. By the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about in the middle of the surah actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, watch your deeds. What are you doing these deeds for? What is your intention? Is your intention for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking success in the hereafter? Or is your intention just to be successful in this world at the expense of the Day of Judgment? In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a very, very famous hadith that most, if not all, of the scholars of hadith start their books by citing this hadith. And that hadith is the famous hadith known as hadith al-niyya. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ The mere translation of the meaning of the hadith is that the completeness, the correctness, the acceptance of the deeds are based on their intention or pending based on their intention. So whoever does a deed, whoever migrates for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give support to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then their migration is going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever migrates for another purpose, for to marry a certain woman or to get a certain trade or certain money or a certain deal, then their migration is for what they have migrated for. It is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nor his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is telling us the same meaning in this beautiful ayah. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ Whoever is seeking by their deeds, by their actions, by their words, by everything that they live by, they are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and success on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase that reward for them on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it in a very beautiful way as harth. Harth is basically tilling of the land. Before spreading the seeds, you till the land, you aerate it, so that when you put the seeds can have enough space to grow, they can receive the water, and they can grow a healthy plant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing that on the Day of Judgment, we're gonna see those seeds, we're gonna till the land in this life, and we're gonna see that the result on the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. And whoever wants just the ornament, fame and fortune and recognition and fellowship in this earth without planning for the Day of Judgment, they will get their reward in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the justice, subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-hakam al-adl. He subhanahu wa ta'ala will not waste the effort of anyone. Depending on that effort, if it is sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get your reward in this life and the hereafter, and most importantly in the hereafter. Those who do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they do good deeds, and they do a lot of effort in studying, in working, in inventing, in charity, in whatever, they are going to get the reward fully. However, they are going to get that reward only in this life. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. They're not going to have any share of these rewards on the Day of Judgment. This is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving everyone what they have worked for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example that He subhanahu wa ta'ala gives sustenance and support in the amount that fits the individual. Because were it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extended everything for everyone, people would feel no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People would feel no dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are hit by poverty or a calamity or a disaster or a pandemic or whatever, what do? As believers, we raise our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking for relief and asking for support. What if there were no pandemics, no diseases, no poverty, no nuisances in this life? We had everything available to us. Many people in this case would forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirms that meaning here. وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَّا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had extended sustenance and support for His servants without any limits on this earth, they would have forgotten about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they would be oppressors in this earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the sustenance in controlled measures. يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَّا يَشَاءُ. Whether it's rain, whether it's prosperity, whether it's health, whether it's wealth, whether it's fame, everything comes in a controlled and a measured fashion because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. He is so knowledgeable about the response and the behavior of His servants subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is so seeing what they are doing subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about an issue that worries many people. Children, offspring. Those who do not have any children long for having children. And those who have children, sometimes they prefer a certain gender over another. Among the tribal societies and the agricultural societies, usually they used to prefer boys over girls. Why? Because the boys can work with them in the fields or in the factories or whatever, whereas the girls might not have the same ability or capability. That's why many of the tribes, the ancient tribes, as we mentioned before, they used to resort to infanticide. If they have a son, they would be very pleased. If they had a daughter, they would be distressed, and sometimes they would kill that infant daughter, innocent infant daughter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is declaring here that these are matters in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا ويهب لمن يشاء الذكور أو يزوجهم ذكرانا وإناثا ويجعل من يشاء عقيما إنه عليم قدير. That to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belong everything in the heavens and the earth. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides people or couples, spouses with children. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الدُّكُورِ. He subhanahu wa ta'ala grants for whomever He wills females, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala grants for whomever He wills the males. Now, by the way, in the Arabic language, if something is mentioned in the indefinite, it is much better than what is mentioned in the definite. So in this case, the scholars of tafsir, that females were mentioned in the indefinite and males were mentioned in the definite, which means that indeed females are a bigger blessing, a greater blessing than males, which is the opposite of the perception of these ancient tribes and these tribal societies. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Again, أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا. Or maybe for families, they may have both sons and daughters. And maybe some families are not going to be able to have any offspring at all. So again, it's all in the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one really knows what is best for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows what is best for them. So if a family has only daughters, maybe that's best for them. Definitely that's best for them. If a family has only sons, that's definitely best for them. If a family has both genders, sons and daughters, that is best for them. If a family does not have any children, that's the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that would be best for them. In this case, maybe they would keep attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking and enduring patience, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them accordingly on the Day of Judgment. In many other cases, sons and daughters might be misery for their parents. They might make the parents try to earn a living from unlawful sources, therefore they would be torture and punishment for these parents. If these sons and daughters are not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are not kind to their parents, they're going to be a pain in the life of these parents. We have seen in the story of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam with Al-Khidr alayhi salam, how the good couple had a young son there, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that this son is going to grow up as a bad person who's going to be a source of agony for his parents. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Al-Khidr to kill that boy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced him with better offspring to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be calm and comfort for the parents. So again, it's a reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we do not know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim, Al-Khabir, the all-wise, the all-knowing subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, whatever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should accept it, and we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever He subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always to make us among those who are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who show gratitude in words and in actions, and those who endure patience in cases of tests with hardships or calamity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of us. Inshallah, we're going to continue our journey tomorrow bi-idhnillah, starting with Surah Az-Zukhruf. So until tomorrow, inshallah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.